Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Welcome with us again. We are so glad that we can share this hour with you, and we are ready for some great question and answers today, so hope you can stay tuned with us all hour long. We have with us Rogier Jade, and I've asked him to prepare some questions for you that have come in from listeners and also on our very substantial worldwide email list. And when those questions come in, we save the best ones and share the answers with you. Rogier, welcome and thank you for being here.
Okay, thank you. First question is, what does it mean to say that as you do, to walk between the worlds?
Yes, it can mean, of course, several things, but the way that I mean it, when we use that title on some of our, I think we've used it on some of our products, but walking between the worlds means that you think with several minds at once. When you are fully expanded, you have the option of the totally silent mind. And when you are there, you see things from the ego's perspective. For instance, you may view a room of people, you may see who's uncomfortable, you may see who's there with an agenda, you may see who's there with an open heart, ready to learn. You know, the whole sort of scene is visible at once when you're looking at it from the ego's perspective. The middle perspective is one that puts you in a slightly altered state. So if you want to, you can look backwards at someone's life and see why they have the twitch in their face, you know, what gave them that. It was an injury, was it some very nervous situation that produced that? You can look back in a sort of an altered state. So then you can draw all the way to your very center and function from the state of separation consciousness, which is handy in the case of wanting to separate the threads out so you can see a little bit clearer what is producing the picture in front of you. In other words, it's handy in cases of analysis. But there is a way that you can live with all three minds at once. And you don't have to engage them separately. And when you get into your ascended mastery levels, which, you know, we've described very carefully what that entails in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And when you get there, you actually do think with all three minds at once. You can be in an altered state. You can be channeling something from some, you know, record somewhere, some hidden library. You can also be viewing the class from this vast perspective. At the same time, you can, with your conscious mind, be writing a poem, for example. So you can do all three at once, and that is a way of walking between the worlds. Now, the way people generally interpret it, because few people are aware of this, is just that you are able to hear conversations or see beings in other realms. For instance, for me, my mind might be silenced, but unless I want to specifically have silence, and then I have to go out very far beyond that, in my expansion, I hear streams of conversation coming in their languages. If I wish, I can interpret it. Or I sometimes hear broken English or somebody trying to speak English to me from some other realm. That's a way of speaking to you right now on the phone, but still being able to hear them as they try and speak with us. For instance, right now, I mean, I could be speaking to you and hearing other beings trying to talk to me.
Okay. And, well, but is there actually at this time beings trying to ask you things or talking to you?
Yes, there are. And if you want to, I mean, we can explore it just for a bit of fun if you want to.
Sure.
Okay. Well, let me just see which conversation we want to listen to, because there's a lot coming in. Okay. Let's choose a male voice that says, Barish nakhat ah vak pautunuk va arat sukpitiki vakna us abakna hushtah iknek ita ukno uvusta mishkatah nuku hirkna. He says, when are you going to do the work? He says, when are you going to call the God's names that must be called from the 10th library? So I'm asking him how many gods there are. Iknuktah bak techka unut vitkiak maunuh. He says that there are 600 gods, but if I call the names of the first 20, they will call the rest. So I'm asking him now, what is the task that they are going to fulfill? Iknukukik tah namak utut hachkatah nikilchkia mauknuk akbak tikne ichkai kiokokinevich kabaktah ukuki akapat. He says each one of the 600 gods know the speed of a specific wheel, and that the speed of the specific wheel pertains to the sacred magical objects, which are the sacred wheels of the goddess and the father, the mother and the father.
Okay.
And just ask him who he is, perhaps, and then we can sign off. Shall I do that?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, abak nutuh shiktach e arnatvi kabak utuf kif achnak. His name is Kif Achnak, and he is of the Aranatvi. And the Aranatvi are the ones that made the Nazca lines. And he says that he is from the Condor, the baby Condor secret library. He's one of the guardians. There is a baby Condor etched in the desert sands at Nazca in southern Peru. It's one of the huge geoglyphs on Earth. There's a secret library underneath. He's speaking to us from there.
Okay. Well, that's I'm just kind of wondering what the 10th library would be, although I'm actually also wondering, you know, in terms of one of the questions asked, what exactly you mean when you use the word libraries or libraries.
Okay. Okay, first of all, the answer is that we only are familiar right now with 4 of 12 libraries. And we're familiar, you know, because mothers had me to work out of them. They make a ring of 12. And they are actually changing the libraries today. But I would have to ask Mother, which we can certainly do on the phone, you know, I would have to ask her what the change is like. So what we are familiar with is there's a unicorn library, and it's on Northern America, and then there is the Serpent Mound Library, and the West Tatmanu are the guardians of that library, and they're the ancestors of the ones that were in the Yucatan known as the Maya. And then we have got the Flower Library, which is under the Flower Geoglyph in Nazca, and the Baby Condor Library. So those are 4 libraries we know of the Ring of 12 that I've done work out of. I would not be able to get the 10th without getting the ones in between.
Okay.
So, you know, there's that. And what was the other question that you asked me
really
about the wheels?
We could do that as well, but really what you, you know, mean when you use the word library, because you're, I mean, it's physical or etheric or...
Yes. These libraries have been on Earth at levels above us. As we move up, we move into their realms. Each of them has actually yielded a portion of the white magic that is being restored among man, that is incorruptible, cannot be used for selfish usages. And so these libraries have each released magic. They are extraordinarily magical. For instance, there was the libraries of Lemuria that opened way back in October of 2007. The wall would just keep moving as you move in. You just keep moving. And the way to get around is to move upwards. And upwards looked like blue sky. And you'd have to have a map to get around in it. You know, then you have got the extraordinary Isis libraries and so on. They're very physical libraries. To get in and out of them requires a great deal of knowledge or magic or permission from the goddess herself or the father if you're sent there.
Okay, but when you say going in and out of them, you don't mean in your physical body, like you walk in out your house? Or
both. You can do either.
Well, I'm just wondering.
If you're able to teleport your body, you absolutely can go in if you know how and where to go physically and handle everything. Or you can take your dream body and go in, either way.
Well, I'm mostly just sort of anticipating the questions of people say, well, where can I go on the world? You know, where can I travel to physically and enter this library, you know, much like they would visit the pyramids or something.
Well, usually something like that is something that is earned. Great deal of magic has already come forth. The book that will be just available by the time this show airs will be, opening the doors of heaven, revelations of the mysteries of Isis. Now, I have not deeply interpreted the things that I have been the scribe for that have come out of these libraries. This is the mother library. This is the hub library. If they were to study what we already have and take it as deep as they possibly can, then they can earn the right to either etherically or, if they're very advanced in their mystical techniques, physically, to enter libraries for further study. But normally what works the best is to study what there already is. And Mother has made it quite clear that although I'm bringing in these libraries' information, you know, every library that's opened, of which there has been, to date, to this moment, there has been 14. There's been 3, and then there were 7, and then there were 4. And the 4 is the ring of 12. So I have scribed as fast as I possibly can. We've just printed the Isis manuscript. I have 2 other manuscripts from the libraries totally completed, waiting for my office to catch up with typing, waiting for them to catch up, you know, with illustrations and things. It's for our readers to take them to the depths, because I'm scratching the surface of understanding them as I translate them, because my mind is empty. But if they spend the time, they have multiple meanings and layers, studying them with pure intent, then the libraries will reveal themselves to them, you see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you, because earlier you used the word channeling, as in channeling the records of some of the libraries, but when you use the word channeling, do you mean the same as, what's generally in the sort of esoteric New Age consciousness community?
The way that others channel is something I've left behind multiple years ago. I did on occasion allow beings that came into my classes to speak to the classes, but did not allow them in my body. But that has been many years ago. Currently, it's like what we just had with the Aranatvi male that spoke to us. It's a conversation. I can hear them speak to me like I can hear you speak to me. So it's a conversation. and a conversation is not the same as channeling. When I translate the records, I either can go in, and initially I often do go into the library to see it, to see which section of the either plates or scrolls or whatever form of the information is kept in takes. Mother instructs me which one is the one that we should be translating from initially. And then as I come home, that will reveal itself in front of me, and then I write down the glyphs that are on it, and then or a portion of the glyphs, then I write down what it sounds like, then I interpret it, and the interpretations have been coming in verse form. Like the gift of the unicorns, most of the revelations there from the history keepers that I had from them giving me dictation, the translation came in verse form. That I just write down, you know, it was a state of totally empty mind. But it is not the same as what people think of as channeling.
Okay. All right, well, do we have time for another one? Or?
Why don't we take a quick commercial break and then we'll come back and do that one?
All right.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We're delighted that you can join us. And Rahir, you had another question for me.
Earlier you spoke of the sacred wheels of the goddess, and I thought we could have you elaborate on that, since some of the students have heard about it, but obviously you haven't published your book on that yet.
The sacred wheels of the goddess opened when we opened the 11th library. You know, as I've said, we have 14 open now. The 11th library, which was the unicorn library, produced the answer to these wheels. The masters in my classes have been receiving information about the wheels, and specifically Eastern European master in the order, sacred order of the serpent, which is the Kundalini magic, up in Toronto, that's part of my class there. She has received 300 mother wheels and another 300 father wheels. The information that came through when the unicorn libraries opened is that these wheels are created for physical manifestation, for physical magic. And so they function. There are 300 mother wheels, 300 father wheels stacked in a specific order, and some are stationary, some turn left, some right, some move up and down, and so forth. And when they make cylinders, the mother cylinder and the father cylinder, if you will, those cylinders move together, occupying the same space, you know, each wheel spinning at its own speed and its own direction. And these wheels go through the template of existence that is like a big sphere that gives the existent DNA coding for all life. And so everything has to be according to the perfect picture or it won't manifest. But this is how you use those wheels to manifest material things. The white magic on Earth, the restoration of it, is in its, we won't say infancy, but certainly its adolescence. And the wheels just made it grow somewhat older. Each of the libraries subsequently that we have opened have produced another piece of the puzzle on how these wheels operate. And by the time we're through with all the wheels, I have to sit down and I have to literally write a manual. This is how you work with it, just on the wheels.
Yeah, because I was wondering, I mean, when you say, you know, you use the wheels for physical magic, I mean, what am I, you know, what picture are you painting when you say using the wheels? How does one use the wheels? Do you, like, focus on them or visualize or...
There's a whole method on how to use them. You have to actually internalize their qualities. Each wheel stands for a quality. There are 600 qualities that if you're not, let's say one is, let's just make up one, okay, let's say it's generosity. Let's say you live a life of scarcity to yourself and to others in that you withhold. You know, you cannot hope to get that wheel to spin because it spins when it recognizes that same quality in you. So it's a way of life, but it should be able to, in its completion, to produce whatever you need.
All right. But that book is still forthcoming.
It is, because I don't have the whole picture yet. And I've looked. I mean, it's like we're looking against a blank wall. It's locked away in libraries yet to open.
Okay, now something I was wondering personally, although I think someone has asked this as well, how it is that there are 300 mother wheels and 300 father wheels, even though, well, I'm not sure how to put it, but even though the mother encompasses much more than the father, yet this seems to be very much a 50-50 kind of deal.
It is true that it's really the mother that is the one expressing as the many, and that her first and most precious creation is the father. But the point is that within the realm of individuation, she expresses equally with him. In other words, mother is everything. She can at all times pull in from beyond the cosmos or produce at will far more than the father can. But she has paced herself with him. Her light is greater, her frequency is greater. But energetically and in material expression, she has made him equal with what she is expressing in the realm of individuation. It means two people are singing a duet. The one person has an operatic voice and can sing without a microphone, filling a whole hall. The other one's just, you know, can sing a song for a small room. It means that in the duet, there is a pacing going on in that she matches his voice.
Okay, but why would...
It's growth through support. And there is this equality that mother has brought back, whereas growth came through inequality during cycles of the fall. But as a cosmos, we have been ascending and ascending to realms where there's equal proactive and equal receptive, equal masculine and equal feminine expression.
Okay.
In other words, nature of reality has changed.
Right, and that's, let's see, and one way way we can illustrate that then is the difference now in growth. I mean, could you comment a little bit more on that?
Very good point, Rogier. Very good point. When there isn't an equal balance, at least out of, you know, with light, with energy and with matter, if everything is far apart, growth speeds up. And the speed of growth has been very, very uncomfortable in the last few years. Not just in individual lives, but cosmically. And some of our most etheric kingdoms, like the angelic kingdoms and so on, they have taken the brunt of it, and they're fatigued, and they're tired. And so, you know, the mother and father being equal, at least energetically and physically, slows this down. And then her being greater in expression in light and frequency keeps it going. And there's a very specific ratio that they maintain.
All right. I'm just thinking if we should say more on that sort of growth through opposition and growth through support question, but then I guess that would sort of take us into the whole light and frequency and energy and matter paradigm, and I'm not sure if we should go there now. What do you think?
Well, let's summarize it and say that there were things that Mother saw mirrored to her that she did not comprehend, for they were what she had never seen before. And where that came in is that the beings that she created had a choice of their own to a certain extent. So if they chose to live contrary to what Mother was, what happens is that it brought confusion in her. Because when we encounter something that's not in us, like somebody's dishonesty when we're honest, it's very confusing. And so Mother was confused. Is this what I am? Because these are the mirrors I made to mirror to me what I am. And so there was a period of during the cycles of the fall, and we can discuss why as a whole they wanted to take place at some point if you want to, but that Mother didn't know what was her and what was not of that which she saw mirrored. So there was illusion, unsolved mysteries of beingness. By August of 2006, all those pieces had been uncovered by Mother, and she knew what she was, and she knew that she was not the distortion that she was encountering in some of her children's choices. So you can say that illusion was solved. Before that, we grew by taking illusion and turning it into knowingness. The mystery into knowingness by turning the unknown into the known in terms of what is and what isn't. Now, we're growing through support, and in a way, we are still turning the unknown into the known, but it's the unknown of how to express the known. In other words, now, life only is meant to live what is, not what isn't. So any roles people played in service so that things could be solved, they can step out of those roles. Now it's time to be what we truly are, which is heirs to Mother and Father's kingdom of perfection.
Okay, and then...
And the unknown ways, just how many ways can we live that? Sorry, I interrupted, but just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, well, I was just thinking... But what does it mean then, I mean, to say now that we're, you know, living something which is illusion? I mean, I know before August 2006 that was kind of the norm, but what is it? What does it mean to say that now?
Well, before August of 2006, there was a reality to it. Now there is not a reality, the real part of it, which is the cosmic counterpart in the large template, isn't there. So there isn't illusion anymore. Where people still choose to live as though there is a little bit like two children pretending there's a ghost in the cupboard just to give a little bit of intrigue to their sleepover, you know, but they're both terrified, and so finally the mother has to come, and they forget that it's just something they're pretending, and they don't have to. They can say, listen, we started this whole thing, and we can let go, but they finally, they believe it themselves. It's the ghost in the closet, because the ghost was removed in August. And whether we still want to be afraid of a ghost that isn't there, you know, that's really part of that freedom of choice.
But repercussion probably wouldn't be the right word, but I wonder, isn't there some kind of increased consequence of clinging to illusion now that it's the longer it's not there anymore?
Well, there's an enormous availability for consciousness right now. And awareness, which, you know, helps us achieve consciousness, awareness is something that can be there for anyone exponentially and immediately through love and praise and gratitude. It is so available. The sad thing of it is that it is basically self-robbery to cling to emotions of fear and anger and pain that have lost their reality. Protectiveness also. It's lost its reality. Beautiful new frequencies have been put in its place in the cosmos, and it's totally available to us the minute we say, I've had enough of this. So the consequences are that we rob ourselves of what is so available.
Okay, and when you said, you just very briefly touched upon the obsoleteness of protectiveness, what does that mean?
Well, if we define the old reality up until that August as turning the unknown into the known through experience, so that all may learn about the mystery of beingness, meaning there were pieces nobody knew. Is this mother, is it not, because it was being mirrored. We can define what is there now as creating through the heart. So creating reality through the heart. If we are now, as a life mission, creating reality through the heart, but still involving obsolete frequencies, we are literally producing that which we're trying to protect against. So if we live with total trust that my heart creates my environment, and as long as my heart is aware what feels right, what does not, I take time to examine my feelings, it will guide me in a place of absolute safety.
Okay, but how does that concretely translate to sort of protectiveness? I mean, what do we take that to mean?
Well, protectiveness, the way we lived it, and I used to teach it, I used to say, prepare for the worst, look ahead, see what snakes may be on your path, and, you know, and then I grew up barefoot, essentially, in Africa. I mean, my mother could hardly ever keep my shoes on, and I walked barefoot in a place in where we lived. We had 42 species of poisonous snakes, so I always used to look ahead, and I'd look at my step in front of me. So you would prepare for the worst and then have the luxury of expecting the best. You continue walking barefoot, you just have to watch where you step. So that's how we used to live. Now, preparing for the worst part needs to be dumped. It's expecting the best. You can expect the best when you lead through life with your heart, because it will take you where you belong. In the past, we attracted opposite energy and opposite matter, which meant we attract everybody that was unlike us into our life. Now, that has changed since that date, because a huge shift in polarity occurred. And we now attract the same energy and the same matter into our life, meaning that for the first time, lightworkers can expect to attract others like them. But you will know by your body truth, by the nausea, by the shrinking feeling, when you are in the presence of where you shouldn't be. And your heart will tell you to be somewhere else. Rogier, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. Andrew here. We'll just dive right into the next question because our time is growing short. We're in our second last segment. And what would be the next question?
Well, the next question would actually be one of two that's still sort of just drawing on really information of the previous segment, because one is about the shift in polarity, and you briefly touched upon this, you know, the sensing of, you know, in whose presence you should be and who, well, not through the heart. And I just thought it would be nice to look into that a bit more because it translates into some pretty, you know, sound advice for light workers who often have the tendency to sort of try and think they should, you know, stick around and help someone and to their own detriment maybe. So I thought maybe you could elaborate a bit more on that point.
You're right. And we think that that's charitable, but that's the old way of charity where, you know, we used to be like a light bulb and all the moths would come around us till we finally couldn't even see our own light. And now, as light workers are together, their joy, their happiness, their inspiration they gain from each other and all the other wonderful things will, in fact, go to the places where it is the most needed on Earth. Because opposite frequency and opposite light is now attracting. So it will attract it there, and that is therefore the highest charity we can give, is to be in places where we are inspired to feel these things, because the frequency itself will go places where it should be. Physically, we don't have to be in those places any longer where light and frequency is needed. In fact, it's counterproductive. But you know, here, there's another thing that you're right, there are huge ramifications once we start to analyze this. And one of them that we haven't looked at is that the Mother Goddess and has, in fact, in recent months, heightened inner senses. And she has created the skin as an interface. She has created the skin as an interface between outer and inner senses. And so there is an exponentially stronger relay of information between inner senses and outer senses. our outer senses are the, you know, the ability to hear others speak, from hidden realms to see beings walking through the room that others may not see. But the point of the matter is there are many, many, many more inner senses than just these extrasensory perception that we normally think of. And they come in the form that the skin will interpret, that this is life-enhancing and this is not. So what I'm trying to say is the inner senses and the outer senses, they are being interpreted by the heart and by the pineal gland immediately as they're felt, but they will be felt throughout the body. So in other words, because of the strengthening of our inner senses, our heightened inner senses will produce heightened body truth. You will feel nauseous more quickly, you'll feel headache, you'll feel like you're moving through jello feeling when you're in a dense place, your skin will crawl, or opposite things will happen, wonderful, elated feelings, and so on. Those are the inner senses speaking. So our ability to do it has been greatly heightened, is my point.
So which would also mean that if we sort of, you know, choose to hang around with people and think we, you know, thinking that we must help them even though it feels unpleasant, but, you know, we have this sort of moral ideal that, in fact, we might be acting destructively by sort of going against our, you know...
Our old learning. Well,
yeah.
The instinct is should override old learning, because old learning changes from moment to moment as the cosmos changes, and it is the prison bars of our existence. But let us just take a look at what you just said. You know, for those who feel they should linger because somebody needs their assistance, or this person's so down and I'm so up, they will be rejected. If they are not smart to do it, the other person will do it. Because the other person's mind may be less disciplined than the light worker's, because opposite matter and energy now repels. You know, if we're saying that the same matter and energy now attracts, the opposite is true also. Opposite energy, opposite matter repels. If people have suddenly been kicked out of relationships, kicked out of their jobs, that's because even though people might have hidden it behind their smiles, they were opposite matter and energy. They were possibly lower, and it became uncomfortable for them to be around us. So that will happen.
But wouldn't, at the same time, if opposite light and opposite frequency attract, couldn't you, in terms of that, say that sort of, you know, opposites, you know, light and dark would attract to each other?
Yes, they would. That there would be, if Mother did not create an override system, that would absolutely, a very smart question, that would absolutely be the case. Because opposite light and frequency attracting, yes, we would be attracted to somebody of opposite light. Other than, we wouldn't be able to stand to be in their presence. Because the physical would repel. Mother created a stopgap so that light workers don't start repelling one another. Because, again, you know, if opposite light and frequency is attracting, which is the principle upon which that wonderful healing modality that Mother gave to humanity, which is called Bel Vas Pata, and there's a link on our website that, you know, will take you there, and I think we've created a page for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Bel Vas Pata is based on healing taking place through same, you know, through opposite frequency and light going to a place where the being insists on clinging to illusion. Now, Mother created the override in the heart energies. She said that heart energies will override. And so when we are with somebody and we're attracted to opposite light, we find it fascinating, but we're repelled by them physically, you know, if there's a big enough difference in their light, that could normally have been the override. But no, the heart energies, Mother said, will be the determining factor. She strengthened it. She upped it. And that will be repelled by what's opposite.
Okay. And the sort of the creation or introduction of Belfast-Bata, I take it also has to do with the sort of the shift in polarity and the consequences that has for the usual forms of energy medicine, so to speak.
Yes, energy healing worked wonderfully before August of 2006 because opposite energies attracted, diseased energies attracted healing energies. And then the polarity in the cosmos changed, and that which works with physical healing and with energy will no longer work. Before that, light and frequency was not a very powerful healing modality. Now, anything that uses that is very powerful. And then Mother has given the optimum healing modality in Belfast-Bata, which, you know, she has given because something was taken away.
Okay, but then we'll probably have people, and we have had people wondering then, well, how is it that so-and-so energy healing modality still appears to be working?
Because if people have faith that their modality will work, let's say their modality doesn't work, but they have absolute faith, they're really healing with faith, and faith healing is a form of light healing, which will work.
Okay, well, all right, well, can we dive into the next one, or do we take a break?
Yes. You know what, you're right. I think it is time for our final commercial break. Thank you for reminding me. Let's do that really quickly.
Almine continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almine is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almine, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almine experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almine's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almine's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
To our final segment of today's show, And Ruhir, what would be our next area we want to explore?
Well, for the sake of completion, we briefly, you know, we were touching upon the theme of that which the, the reality of which has been removed and what would be the consequence of still sort of, you know, clinging to it or believing in it. But I thought that, you know, a good example of this would be the, you know, the reality or unreality of death. And, you know, maybe we should just look into that a little bit, even though this is one of the ones that we will be doing in the, you know, the iTunes podcast and also on YouTube. But I thought maybe you just want to say something about it.
Yes, I'd be happy to. So, death as a reality has also ceased. And how that has happened is as follows. For eons, Toltec seers have looked at death, trying to understand what it was, how to slip past it and become an immortal being, and so forth. And they knew that death was a tumbling force. Yet they never could quite understand what made that force occur. And this force would tumble against the sort of luminous field around the body. And what made it occur was that awareness moved. And it moved in trillions and trillions of little spirals. And the reason they didn't put two and two together is they were missing one of the movements that awareness used to make that I describe in Journey to the Heart of God. They knew it spiraled. They knew it moved outward from source. But what they didn't know is that it also arced. And as it arced, it also curved slightly to the right. And so there were several movements that created this tumbling effect of awareness pummeling the fields around our body. When we fully cooperated with life, it would move through our fields. If we opposed life, it would set itself up in opposition to the force of the awareness's movement. And this would break down the field. Soul force would escape, and eventually it would crack and fold upon itself and resemble something like an embryo lying at a corpse's feet, and the spirit would leave. So that is what death used to be. Now, awareness shattered into tiny bits in August of 2006 and stopped moving altogether. So there is nothing tumbling, pushing against our luminous cocoon. And in fact, the more love, praise, and gratitude we have, the more dense of a field of awareness particles gather around our luminous cocoon, making it more and more life-enhancing and self-regenerating. And once we have it there, it doesn't move away again. It stays there. So the more we have that, those attitudes, which are called the ascension attitudes, the less soul force will escape. But if we, even though death as a reality has been removed, if we oppose life, it still lets out some of the soul force in that it moves to a higher octave of frequency, and it's no longer accessible to the physical body. In other words, we lose soul force. We die a bit at a time, every time we oppose life. Isn't that fascinating?
Sure is.
So anyway, does that answer everything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I just sort of was getting the impression that we were out of time, but...
No, we have time for one more.
Okay. Let's see. All right, well, we'll do this one because it seems to be a recent theme as well. What exactly is the Matrix, or how would you define this concept of the Matrix?
Okay. What creation has been, and I'm saying has been because we are in the process of such major changes around the Matrix that I'd like to speak about what it's been until 3 days ago in the short time we have left, has been that one of Mother's cells in her body has been the projector, and that cell's reality, containing a full image of her as well, has been that which has been mirrored outwards onto a big screen, and That is what creation has been. Creation has individuated life within the cosmos. Because what's very important and different than, say, last year, is that there is no other individuated life. We have assimilated all of it during our ascension path within our cosmos. So what we have now in the cosmos is the only individuated life. It's the only movie going on. And it's that which is projected from her cell. Now, to escape that movie, if we don't like the movie, we have some volition as characters in the movie of creating our own reality, but changing the movie as a whole, there has to be something that changes with the probabilities of her cell being mirrored as the only reality that we know. This has been changed in the last few days, in which more of Mother has been projected onto the screen, breaking open the old matrix and creating a whole other paradigm. But literally, that's what creation has been. And although as characters we had a little bit of freedom of choice, the matrix was set in that it was her one cell. And the other thing is that there have been multiple factors that made the changing of the matrix as an actual visual image much harder, meaning Mother has put enormous changes in place over the last years, as has Father. And somehow it hasn't always filtered through to be seen in physicality, whereas all other non-physical beings have reaped great benefits from it. That is another area that Mother has been working on layer by layer by layer every day. There's been work on making manifestation in the physical more immediate. Oh, my goodness, Ruchir, I see we're out of time. I'm so grateful that for your participation today and also for our listeners, because you are what makes these shows possible. Join us again next week. Thank you.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.